Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Last week, we started a study on King David and saw how when others were confounded by Goliath, David saw a different path forward using skills he learned to defend his sheep against attacks from bears and lions. After taking out Goliath, David soon found himself on the bad side of King Saul, who sought to have David killed. It would have been easy for David to seek revenge, but David chose not to go down that path. Instead, he chose a path that looked like something out of the book of Romans that tells us to not repay evil for evil or to seek vengeance, but instead to overcome evil with good, giving wrath its proper perspective. We learn it's normal to be angry when we are wronged. Seeking revenge when we are wronged is something we should never do. This week, we'll start our study on the life of King David by reading Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. In his first letter, Peter also wrote about how we should handle bad situations in our life. Peter tells us when others are evil towards us or harass us, that instead of replying in kind, we need to be instead a blessing, because we will be inheriting a blessing. Peter also tells us that as we speak, because we love life, and that blessing we know we will one day have, to be careful with the words we speak, so that evil and bad thoughts do not come from our lips. We are reminded of the need to hate evil and to do good while earnestly seeking peace as God the Father listens to our prayers and watches over us. Long before Peter wrote these words, we will see that David lived these words. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain in his tongue from evil, and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. When the Apostle Paul wrote the first time to the church at Thessalonica, he gave them information on how to interact with religious leaders and other people. Religious leaders are not any more important than any person. They may have additional responsibilities that put them in a very public place before the people. Paul told the church at Thessalonica to esteem religious leaders very highly because of the type of work they do. He did not tell them to subjugate themselves to them or to the office they hold, because before God the Father, we are all part of the same church and the body of Christ. He went on to tell the church to be at peace among themselves and to strive to keep peace within the church. He reminded them to not repay evil for evil and to pursue that which is good both within the church and among all mankind. He also reminded them of the need to be thankful, happy, and prayerful, holding fast to those things which are good and abstaining from all appearances of evil. We will see in our study of the life of David, David did all of these. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil. To the church at Ephesus, Paul told them to be careful of the words they used and to put away a list of bad things from their life, being willing to forgive others. This was the life of David. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Jesus taught his disciples not to resist evil. Instead of repaying evil for evil and giving evil a place in our life, Jesus taught that we should instead go beyond that which is evil so that good may abound in our lives. In his life, David would on multiple occasions go beyond evil, and as a result, good typically came into David's life. Let's see what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. At another time, during his earthly ministry, Jesus went on to summarize the Ten Commandments as showing love towards God the Father and to your neighbor. While many are familiar with what Jesus said in the gospel accounts, most haven't carefully analyzed the passage from Leviticus, which also tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In this passage, we are told to not judge a person by looking at any part of the person that might give us an advantage. We are not to show favor to the poor or the rich just because a person is poor or rich, but to look at each person as an individual and render judgment by the merits of that person. We are also told to not avenge ourselves against our neighbors, but to love them as we love ourselves. These words were all part of David. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. After David slew Goliath, Saul and David talked because nobody knew whose son David was. It was during this conversation that probably something David said connected with Jonathan, Saul's son, and an instant bond was formed between the two, and they became closer than brothers. After this huge victory, Saul wanted David to be part of his household and would not let David return to his father's home. Jonathan even gave David clothes of the royal family to wear, and David went wherever Saul sent him. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul sent him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. As David was returning from the victory over the Philistines and the death of Goliath along with Saul, women came to welcome them home, singing a song. In the lyrics of the music, they said the words that Saul had killed thousands and David had killed 10,000s. These words were troubling to Saul and caused him to become angry, because from that day forward he saw David as a threat to his kingdom. Verse 6. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. The next day the evil spirit returned to Saul, and David came to play the harp to cheer him up. This time Saul had a javelin in his hand and began thinking about taking the life of David, and saw himself pinning David to the wall with the javelin. David was quick to get out of Saul's way, and seen as a failure to take the life of David, this caused Saul to become afraid of David, knowing that God was now with David and no longer with Saul. Verse 10. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand, as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. To put distance between himself and David, Saul made David a captain over 1,000 men. And even with his promotion and additional responsibilities, David continued to do very well, which caused Saul's paranoia of him to only grow. Even though Saul began to despise David, the people adored David, and he was often seen by the people. Verse 13. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. Saul began thinking of other, more noble ways for David to die. He offered to make David his son-in-law by offering his older daughter Merab in exchange for David fighting battles, with the hope that David would be killed in battle. When offered this opportunity, David did not consider himself worthy to be the king's son-in-law. The marriage to Merab would not happen, as Saul later gave her in marriage to another person. Verse 17. And Saul said to David, "Behold, my elder daughter Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, Let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. And David said unto Saul, Who am I, and what is my life for my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law unto the king? But it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, the Meholathite, to wife. The younger daughter of Saul, Michal, fell in love with David, and word got back to Saul, who began thinking how he could use this new development to get rid of David. Immediately, he thought Michal could be used to trap David between marriage and fighting the Philistines, and Saul knew David would be his son-in-law. Saul secretly had his servants go to David and tell him that Saul was very happy with him and that David should become the king's son-in-law. Verse 20. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law and one of the twain. And Saul commanded his servants, saying, Commune with David secretly, and say, Behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. Saul's servants connected with David just as was requested by the king, and David told them that since he came from a poorer family and was not well liked by the king, he had to give the idea serious thought. The servants returned to Saul and told them David's thoughts, and immediately Saul focused on the dowry, realizing that David nor his family would have the financial ability to pay the dowry. Saul told the servants to tell David that instead of a dowry of gifts, all Saul would want is 100 foreskins from Philistines. Saul wasn't trying to be kind to David. He was hoping the Philistines would kill David. Verse 23. And Saul's servants spake those words in the ear of David, and David said, Seemeth it to you a light thing to be the king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? And the servants of Saul told him, saying, On this manner spake David. And Saul said, Thus shall ye say to David, The king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged to the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. Not having to pay a financial dowry gave David reason to reconsider, and it made him happy to think he would be the king's son-in-law. To prove his worth, David went beyond the 100 foreskins required by Saul and slew 200 men, bringing their foreskins back to Saul. Since David was not dead and his younger daughter Michal loved David, Saul allowed Michal and David to marry. It was still easy for him to see that God was with David because David killed double the number of men Saul asked him to, and did not die. It was also easy for him to see that his younger daughter loved him very much. All of this caused Saul's paranoia of David to grow, and Saul, day by day, became the enemy of David. Even with all of this hatred, David continued to be brilliant, and David became known for his brilliance. Verse 26. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full tell to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal his daughter to wife. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. Between David and Saul was Saul's son Jonathan. Why, we do not know, but we do know there was an instant connection between Jonathan and David when they first met, and they became closer than brothers. Throughout their friendship, Jonathan exemplified what is taught in the Bible, and we will start by considering what is written in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Because Jonathan's father despised David and sought his death, any action taken by Jonathan could have been at risk of his own life. Through his many interventions to protect David from his father, Jonathan lived what Jesus taught his disciples in the New Testament, that no greater love does one person have for another, but to lay down their life for their friends. And through this bond of love, being closer than brothers, David became like a brother to Jonathan, the king's son, rather than being treated like a servant, which would have been within reason. The need to have love one for another is so important that Jesus commanded his disciples, including everyone alive today, to have love one for another. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. As Christians, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is not a gift of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. In all that Jonathan did to protect David from his father, Jonathan lived a life having a mind not based in fear, but rather based in power, love, and the sound mind that Paul writes about in his first letter to Timothy, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Jonathan might have been a forgotten figure from history, with his name never recorded in the Bible, if he, instead of standing up for David against his father's will, shrank in fear. What Jonathan did, knowing that his father could have taken his life at any moment, required boldness, as he was tested each time Saul plotted a new tack against David. Jonathan, who loved David like a brother, did not fear his father, because his commitment to David was much, much more. Because we know that Jonathan risked his own life by defending David from Saul, we can deduce that because Jonathan loved David, who he could see, that Jonathan would be much more likely to love God, whom he could not see. In his first letter, John tells us in chapter 4, beginning in verse 17, that if we love God, we must also love other people. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but because love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. At any time while defending David, Jonathan could have easily given up, fearing that his father would find out and cause him harm, because everything that Jonathan did was as the son of the king in an environment where there were many servants of the king. Any of these people could have turned on Jonathan for personal gain. As it is written in Proverbs 28 and verse 1, Jonathan did not flee. He was bold as a lion, much like how a righteous person would act. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. We are reminded in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, to let brotherly love continue. Jonathan never gave up on brotherly love. In Hebrews, we are also reminded of the need to be hospitable and to preserve marriages, along with the need to be content with what we have. In doing so, we can act boldly, not fearing what man can do to us. With these thoughts, we begin to see what Jonathan's character might have been. Hebrews 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Psalm 56 is a prayer to God asking for God's mercy, knowing that people on a daily basis can oppress us. This psalm shows the importance of trusting in God and not fearing what people can do to us. We must recognize that it is God who will help us escape from the evils that others have planned for us, and that it is God who can limit what other people can do to hurt us. It is with this reflection that we put our trust in God, knowing God can deliver us from our enemies and keep us from death. Time and time again, David would face this dilemma, and Jonathan would face this situation whenever he intervened between his father and David. Psalm 56, verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they may be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. when they wait for my soul? Shall they escape my iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle, for they are not in thy book. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. The vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Jonathan protected David, even though he was ordered by his father to kill David. All of Saul's servants were told to kill David. Instead of taking lethal action, Jonathan risked his own life by coming to David in peace and telling him to hide from everyone. Jonathan told David that when he was in hiding, he would try to figure out what Saul was planning to do next. 1 Samuel 19, verse 1. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Saul's son delighted much in David, and Jonathan told David, saying, Saul my father seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father and of thee, and what I see that I will tell thee. While David was hiding, Jonathan worked to soften up Saul's desire to kill David, showing that David was very loyal to Saul in everything he did. He helped Saul remember that it was David who killed Goliath, when nobody else would even fight the Philistine. When Jonathan said to Saul, worked, and Saul relented on his plan to kill David, and the relationship went back to how it was before. Verse 4. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee word very good. For he did put his life in his hand, and slew the Philistine. And the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest, and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, and the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all these things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. Later there came another battle against the Philistines, and as in all previous encounters, David killed many fighters. Again this made Saul angry, because he saw David's success as a challenge to his throne. When David returned to the palace, he tried to kill David right there and then, throwing a javelin at David. He missed, but the javelin slammed into the wall with such force that anyone there would have realized had the javelin hit David, David would have been dead. Instead, David slipped away into the night. Verse 8. And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall and with a javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. David had found a safe passage back to his house, and later that night Saul sent messengers to the house with the intent of keeping David there under house arrest until morning. Michal, David's wife, did not want her husband to die and helped David escape by slipping out a window. She even made it look like David was asleep in the bed, by using the head of a statue and using goat hair to look like David's body. The next morning, when it was discovered that David was missing, Michal told Saul that David had threatened her. Verse 11. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, He is sick. And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, Bring him up to me in the bed, that I may slay him. And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, Why hast thou deceived me so, and sent away my enemy, that he is escaped? And Michal answered Saul, He said unto me, Let me go, why should I kill thee? David fled to Ramah and stayed in Naioth. Word eventually got back to Saul, who sent men there to arrest David and return him to the palace, and these men came across Samuel and other prophets. They felt compelled to return to the palace, and this pattern repeated itself multiple times. Eventually Saul went to fetch David and encountered the power of God. Verse 18. So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naioth. And it was told Saul, saying, Behold, David is at Naioth in Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to take David, and when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then went he also to Ramah, and came to a great well that is in Sekou, and he asked and said, Where are Samuel and David? And one said, Behold, they be at Naioth in Ramah. And he went thither to Naioth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naioth in Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they say, Is Saul also among the prophets? Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.